Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Tzadi. We are holding on Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. We're going to go back to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Last words on the line are Amar Rav Yehuda on Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Aleha Shalom, the Nisham Shev and Aliyah. Also by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should all return home safely. And also by our Mechutah, Mark and Rivka Harris, Lili Nishmas Rivka's father, Rav Yitzchak Eliezer Ben Avram Chaim. His yard site is today. His neshama should have an aliyah from our learning and from all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim of his wonderful family. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to talk about the iser to even own false weights and measures. Not only, obviously not to use them, because then you're really cheating people out of money, but even to own them. And then the Gemara is going to go through a list of the types of weights and measures that a person is supposed to have, that a salesman is supposed to have. And included in that is what you're not supposed to have, that you're not supposed to have non-regulation weights and measures, because they can easily be confused for other weights and measures. So even though you're not being dishonest about it, but since it's something that can easily be confused for a similar weight or measure, you're not allowed to have certain things. So we're going to go through the whole list of dry weights and measures and liquid measuring utensils. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that when a community changes what they call their measurements, they can't change it by more than 1/6. The Gemara is going to have four suggested reasons for that rule. Then the Gemara is going to discuss in Amud Beis the punishment for four different types of dishonest business practices, and then at the very end of the daf, we're going to go through details of the iser to hoard food, which is going to change the market. A person sometimes buys up enough that he could single-handedly change the whole market, so there's an iser to do that, in addition to the fact that there's an iser to export certain things from Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to discuss the gedarim of those two isurim. So let's begin toward the end of Peitas and Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda, last one line is Rav Yehuda. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amarav, Asal Adam Shashamid Chaser Yisir B'toch Beiso, Afilu Wi Avit Shal Mei Meraglayim. A person should not have a measure that is missing or is extra, that it's that's off in terms of its accuracy. Yeah, and you're not even allowed to keep it in your house, even if you're not using it. Even it's an you're using it as an Avit Shal Mei Meraglayim, you're using it as a urinal, you're not allowed to keep it in your house because we're afraid that you might clean it off and you might come to use it. Amar Rav Papa Lo Amar. Such a concern only exists if the government doesn't have people that sign off on the midos, meaning that if the measurements all have to be certified by the government, every customer will know to look for certification. In a place where the government certifies such things, if they don't see the certification, they're not going to take it. And even in a place where they don't certify it, it's only going to be usher if they don't at least have government officials that come around to check, that do random spot checks to make sure that people are being honest in their business. Aval mahandasi, but from time to time, people go to check to make sure that the merchants are doing things right. Less than bad, then there's no issue to keep such midos around, because there's no chashash, someone is going to come to use them, he's never going to get away with it. He's going to be afraid of getting caught, and then the government will shut him down. So says Mar Velohi, that's not really correct, that we make such chilukim, that if the government gives a hechsher, or if the government comes around to spot check, that then we don't have to worry about it. Not true. Zimni demikri ben hashmashos, imikri v'shakil. Sometimes it will happen ben hashmashos, which is a time that gets very, very busy and very chaotic, and a person's going to need a measuring cup, and he's going to take the one that he's not supposed to use, and he's not going to be worried about getting caught by the government. The Rashbam writes that this velohi is going on both qualifications the Gemara just made, right? The Gemara just, it's mutter if they have to give a stamp of approval on it, if they have to give a hechsher on it, and it's mutter if they send people around to spot check. So the Rashbam writes, the Velohi is arguing on both of those things, that no stamp of approval nor any spot check is going to be enough to overcome the concern that someone might use a false weighted measure. Rabbeinu Gershom, however, says that by Ben HaShemashos, the Mamunim are not around, are in their homes, and they therefore the mocher is not going to be so careful about not using these things. There are Rishonim, many Rishonim, that understand that the Gemara is really only being docha the last chilek of the spot checkers, that we're not going to be having spot checkers is not enough, but the first chilek, that having a hechsher on it, if that's the minhag, that you need a hechsher from the government on your weights and measures, that actually is going to work. That's how the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam all learn, that this velohi is only going on the second of the two exceptions that we just made to the rule. So the Gemara says, and we have Tani Namiyachi, we have a brisa that says exactly this din, that a person cannot keep false weights and measures in his house, even if it's an avid shalmei meraglayim. This is what we call a siyag d'oraisa. This is a din d'oraisa, and even though it's a din d'oraisa, it's a protective measure. It's only a siyag. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole list of dozens of cases where the Torah makes a siyag around its own words. That normally a siyag is something that which the offense that the Chachamim make around the Dinei Torah. But every now and then the Torah itself makes a siyag around other Dinei Torah. So this might very well be a din d'oraisa that you're not allowed to have these weights and measures, and it may be a siyag d'oraisa. That certainly seems to be the way the Rambam understands. Now the Braisa continues and says, but here's what you're supposed to have. Aval osuhu, if a person wants to run a business, he should have the following measuring utensils: a sa'a, a tarkav, chatzi tarkav, kav, chatzi kav, rova, toman, v'chatzi toman, v'uchla, v'kami uchla, and how much is an uchla? Echon michamisha b'reviyah. It happens to be one-fifth of a reviyah hakav, which means a beitza and a half. That's the size of this measuring utensil. The Ritva points out, the Lashon of the Braisa is aval osuhu, that however you can make these things, or you should make these things. The Lashon of the Braisa aval sounds like there's a havamina that you're not allowed to make them. Why would there be a havamina that you're not allowed to have these measurements? So he says, no, I mean, we're going to detail measurements that are somewhat close in size to each other. So one might have thought you cannot keep any measurements that are anywhere near the same size as each other, because you might fool someone into thinking that a smaller measure is really a larger measure, and you're going to sell him less than he's actually interested in buying, and you're going to charge him the higher price. So the chiddush of the braisa is, these are the measuring utensils you're allowed to have. They're not considered too close in size to each other that we're choshesh that you're going to use them to cheat somebody in business. So now the braisa continues, ubemidas halach, all of that were dry measuring utensils. What about for midas halach, for measuring liquids? Hu osa hin, you can have a measuring cup the size of a hin, which is 12 log, v'chatzia hin, which is 6 log, ushlishis a hin, and 1/3 of a hin, which obviously is 4 log, or a viasayin, which is 3 log, v'log, and a log itself, which is the size of 6 beitzim, v'chatzi log, which is the size of 3 beitzim, or a vias halog, which is a beitza mechza, u'shminis, and an eighth of a log, which is 3 quarters of a beitza, v'echon mishmona b'shminis, and an eighth of an eighth of a log, v'zehu kortov, and that last one we refer to as a kortov. That's referred to throughout Shas in the Mishnah Maseches Mikvaos, and in the Gemara in a number of places, in the beginning of Makos and the Maseches Chulin, we have such a concept, such a word, a kortov. So we're teaching right now that kortov means a shminish of a shminis halog. So now we had said in the Braisa that when it comes to dry measurements, we have a tirkov, which is 3 kavin, and a chatzi tirkov, which is a kav and a half, and a kav and a chatzi kav. But it doesn't say you should make a measuring cup the size of shnei kavin. So I asked the Gemara, v'lovinami kabayim, why not make something the size of 2 kavs, which is 1/3 of a sa'a? After all, by the midas halach, there is such a thing as a shlishis a hin. We do make a measuring cup 1/3 the size of a hin. So why not make something 1/3 the size of a sa'a, which would be kabayim? So says Gemara, asi l'chluch v'tarkav. Now we're choshesh that you're going to mix that up, the 2 kav measuring cup with a tarkov, which is 3 kavin. So the difference between them is so small. It's only off by by one third, the lokeach may not be sensitive to the difference, and therefore you don't want to have that around because it's going to give a yetzer hara to cheat the lokeach out of it. So says where really people make a mistake by such a percentage? Alma tohu inchi tilta. You seem to be suggesting that people make a mistake when it's off by one third. Well, if that's the case, can we really justify all of the other measurements that we just mentioned? Iachi, if that's the case, kavnami lalavid. You shouldn't be able to make a one kav size measuring utensil. Tasi lachlufe bechatzi tarkav, because people will confuse that for a chatzi tarkav, because a chatzi tarkav is a kav and a half. What's the difference between one kav and a kav and a half? One third. So if you're allowed to make a kav and a tarkav, so you see that we're not choshesh for a discrepancy of one third. So we're back to the question: why don't we make a measuring cup the size of kabayim? The closest one to it is off by one third, and apparently people don't make a mistake by one third. Ella says more kabayim anytime beloved. The reason we don't make a kabayim is dasu lichlufe bechatzi tarkav. We're afraid you're going to confuse it for a chatzi tarkav, which is a kav and a half. And the difference between a kav and a half and kabayim is one fourth. So that's less than one third, and such a discrepancy, people will make a mistake. Says more, really? Alma tayi inchi riva? You mean to tell me people will make a mistake when it's off by one fourth? Ihachi, but by that same logic, chatzi tomen v'uchlal lo avid. You shouldn't make a chatzi tomen and an uchla, because a chatzi tomen is only one fifth larger than an uchla. And if you make a mistake in one fourth, you're certainly going to make a mistake by one fifth. So amra papa midas ktanos b'kibu inchi. When you're dealing with very small measurements, people are much more attuned to the differences. So since the chatzi tomen and uchla are very tiny, there's no chashash that someone is going to cheat somebody else by measuring in an uchla and taking money as if he's measuring in a chatzi tomen, because the buyer will be sensitive to that. He'll realize what's going on. When it comes to small measurements, even if it's off by a little bit, people will be more sensitive to it. So ask the Gemara, okay, but if you're going to tell me people make a mistake by one-fourth in large measurements, shlisha sahin or revia sahin lo la'avid. You shouldn't make both a shlisha sahin and a revia sahin, because they're off from each other by only one-fourth. Because a hin is 12 log, a shlisha sahin is 4 log, and a revia sahin is 3 log. So a 4 log kli and a 3 log kli are off by 1/4. So kiven dav migdash lo gazu b'rabanan. No, since those measurements existed in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim were not gozer to asur them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, sounds like enochinami. We should have asked for those things, but we can't, because those things that existed in the Beis HaMikdash. We already saw that they exist in the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Bam points out, we saw in Peivav and Beis that the Midas Hin that they had in the Beis HaMikdash had markings on it at the Chatziyahin line for carbon par, and the Shlishas in line for the aisle, and Revi is in line for a keves. So to tell you the nesachim of the different karbanos that were brought. Now, even though people, so there are a few ways of understanding this line of Gemara. So what? So they had it in the Mikdash, and therefore we're allowed to have it in Medina. So the Sma on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat writes that even though it's true, people do make a mistake when it's off by 1/4, but since they had these measurements, measuring utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chacham couldn't make a macha'a on the use of them in Medina. Meaning, the concern was there, the concern is there, but they simply don't have the power to be gozer because it exists in the Beis HaMikdash. The Meiri writes, no, since these measurements are mentioned in the Torah and existed in the Mikdash in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, no one was concerned that you're going to confuse them for each other. This is so much a part of our religion, the difference between this measurement and that measurement are so much a part of our religion that we're accustomed to it. Meaning things that people aren't accustomed to, they get confused in the details. But if you're accustomed to know the difference between them, because that's the way you always brought Kabanos, then people are not going to be confused by the details. Muka Yosef explains that they allowed hadyotos, they allowed even non-mikdash transactions to exist with these midos, because even hadyotos would use them typically to measure the oil that they needed for the menachos, and therefore you don't have to worry about making a mistake with such things, because ultimately they're going to bring it to the Kohanim, and Kohanim is Rizanim, meaning most of the transactions with such kalim are really pre-mikdash transactions. They're meant to prepare for the mikdash. They're not Katan as separate secular transactions. Apparently, it was uncommon to use these amounts in a regular non-Mikdash transaction. So says the Rebbe, Mikdash Nami Ligzar, why don't they make a gzeira in the Mikdash not to use these items if, after all, people can make a mistake? So says the Rebbe, no, Kohanim's reason name. Kohanim are very careful. You don't have to worry that in the Mikdash they're going to make a mistake. Tosfos asks the question, what's the Havamina that we should not allow using these midos in the Mikdash? You need them in order to know what's a shlish sayin for an ayil, what's a reviyah sayin for a keves. So how are you going to know what a shlish sayin for an ayil and a reviyah sayin for a keves if you don't have these midos? So Tosfos says, because you could use the mido of the log. A shlish sayin is dalid login, reviyah sayin is gimel login. So take a log, measure it three times, take a log, measure it four times, and then you'll get to the same result. Why do you have to have a kli that dafka holds a shlish sayin and a reviyah sayin? That was the havamina, that was the question. Okay, so now the Gemara brings other dinim relating to measuring utensils. Amar Shmuel, in most even alamidos, yosa mishtos, that when they, if a community, a city wants to change the size of their midos, meaning what they call the gallon is now going to be a different size. It's no longer going to be what used to be called a gallon. When they change those the numbers, when they change the standards, it can't be more than 1/6 of the original size. And if they want to change the value of the coins, they can't add more than 1/6 from the previous value. If I'm a stacker, I'll use stacker yosa mishtos. And if a person is running a retail business, so he buys things wholesale, when he resells, he cannot sell at more than a 1/6 markup. He should not make more than 1/6 when he turns around and resells that which he had bought. Now, there are a ton of exceptions to that last rule, as you might imagine, right? Meaning a ton of qualifiers on that last rule. The Rashbam writes, what if the prices just went up? So I happened to buy wholesale, a year ago, and I still have stuff in stock, so I have to only mark it up by 1/6 from what the price was a year ago. Now, if I wanted to buy that same thing, it would cost way more, and everyone is selling it for way more because that's the price right now. So then you're allowed to add more than 1/6. In addition to that, Rabbeinu Chananel writes that you also have to take into account, and this is quoted by the Rush as well, that you also have to take into account the expenses of running a business. Meaning 1/6 means profit margin. 1/6 does not mean that 1/6 more than I paid for it, because then you're not going to have it. You keep cutting into that profit margin. You can have nothing left. So it means after taking into account the expenses of, you know, the rent on the storefront and the and everything else that all the other, and the shipping expenses and all the other expenses that it takes to run a business, so then you could have a markup of 1/6. Yad Ramah writes that this is dafka when all the socherim are keeping to these rules. But if you have one socher that's not keeping to these rules, so then everybody else doesn't have to keep to them also, because that's going to be unfair that there's going to be one guy that only gets to mark up by a 6, but everybody else is not doing this. So if they can somehow enforce that in the entire city, everyone has a minimal markup, that's what they do. In addition to that, the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Mechira, that this issur is only by staple food items, by oil, by wine, things like that, and that's what's Paskin Shulchan Aruch, Sim Reish Lamed Aleph, Siv Chaf. But when it comes to luxury items, so a luxury item could be marked up more than 1/6 if people can afford to buy it. So let them figure out if they want to spend their money on such things. But for staple food items, that's where we don't add a 6. So a whole bunch of qualifications to this rule that you don't add 1/6 when you turn around and sell something as a retailer. Now the Gemara explains what's the we go back to explain the first din of Shmuel, that when we change the midos, you don't change the midos, the measuring cups, by more than 1/6. Saying, we'll see if now midos yosim shus my taima. So we have four possible suggestions. Number one, ile mishum af kuei tara. If it's going to be that you're gonna make the prices more expensive because people are gonna people are gonna start to charging a lot more, and they're gonna raise the prices by more than 1/6. Well, then shus namilo. Then you shouldn't add to the midos at all. Once you add instability to the way that we measure things, so all of a sudden you say, oh yeah, because I'm giving you more, and people aren't gonna be doing the math and realize that you're giving them more and you're charging them way more for the little bit more that you get. So then even less than a sixth should be a problem. So Ella, second reason, Mishum Ona'a, that we're afraid that it's going to be Ona'a, that people aren't going to know, the merchants aren't going to know that the Midos in this particular location have changed, and they're going to you're going to sell with the previous prices, even though you're giving them in the newer Midos, which are larger, and therefore they were misake not to add more than 1/6, because otherwise it's going to be a violation of Ona'a. Because if it's off by more than 1/6, then they can tie in a bitul mekach that I was cheated by more than 1/6, and therefore the transaction is void. No, if that's the concern, even less than a shir ona'a should be chozer, because whenever something is measurable, even less than 1/6 would result in bitul mekach. Ella, a third possibility. We don't want it to be a hefsid for a merchant that comes from a different city to sell over here, to sell the schora over here, that the halacha is that that he's allowed to profit by 1/6, and if you make the measurements larger by 1/6, maybe he's not going to know that you made the measurements larger over here, so he's going to sell based on the prices of the old measurements, and he's going to end up losing out. But if the change in the measurements over here was less than 1/6, and the merchant comes to town and he doesn't know they've been changed, so it will cut into his profits, but at least he'll have some profit left because he's marking up by 1/6. So you'll be cutting into his profits, but you won't be destroying his profits. Says Mar Pseidu Hudalahavile, Rav Chalobai, Zavin Zabin, Tagri Ikri. Wait a second, how can you do that to the guy? His whole markup is 1/6. We're going to allow people to change the size of the Midos by 1/6, which means his profit margin has now gone to zero. So now he's not a merchant. Now he's just a guy schlepping things from here to there for no reason whatsoever. How can you do that to a person to make him not a merchant at all? So that can't be the concern. So Ella, a fourth possibility. Amar of Chista, Shmuel kra ashkach v'darash. Shmuel found the pasuk and he darshened, and that's where he got this din from, that you're not allowed to change the Midos by 1/6. The pasuk is a pasuk in Yecheskel. V'ashekel esrim gera, Eshrim shkalim, chamisha v'yeshrim shkalim, asara v'chamisha shekel, hamana yelachem. That the mana of Hegdish is a combination of three manim that there were no egg in three different places. That there are some places that a mana is 15 sla'im, some places that a mana is 20 sla'im, and some places that a mana is 25 sla'im. So 15 plus 20 plus 25 is 60 sla'im, and that's what made up the mana of Hegdish. And every Selah has 20 gera, which are ma'os ketanos, so the shekel is esrim gera. So Shmuel was bothered that from this cheshbon, it turns out that the mana of Hegdish has 60 shkalim, which is 240 dinarim. Mana masin varbayin havu. Is a mana 240 dinarim? We know that's definitely not true. A mana is 100 zuz. It's not 240 dinarim. It's only 100 zuz. The Gemara in Ksubas tells us that a Ksubas al mana is mana, right? What's a mana? It means ve'ezuz. That's what it always means in Ksubas. And Ksubas Pesula is Masayim, and Ksubas al mana is mana, which is half of a Ksubas Pesula. If you assume they're using the same currency, it could be that Ksubas Pesula is because of Tzuri, and Ksubas al mana is because of Medina. Maybe it's 1/16, but let's assume like those Rishonim, it's half. So it's always 100. So the Rashash points out that the Sugi Ksubas does not tell us that a mana is 100 zuz, just that it's not 240 dinarim, but there are other sugyas that tell us that it's 100 zuz. So bottom line is, Shmuel was bothered. How can we say that the mana of Hegdish is 240 zuz? It's not. It can't possibly be. El Shema Minah Thas. So what we see from this pasuk is three things. First thing we see from this pasuk is Shema Minah, mana shel kodesh kafal haya. The starting point is the mana that they used for Hegdish was double of the mana that they would use for chulin. That a mana of chulin taka is 100 dinarim, which is 25 slaim. A mana of Hegdish is 200 dinarim, which is 50 slaim. Ushmamina. So that's what gets us to 200. Ushmamina. Second thing we learn is mosif nalamidos, that they're allowed to be mosif on the midos and the matbeos, because they obviously they added 1/6 to the size of the matbea, and the mana shel chulin is worth after the hosafa 120 dinarim, which is 30 slaim. The mana shel kodesh is now worth after the hosafa 240 dinarim, which is 60 slaim. And that's how we get to 240 dinarim. That first, the mana shel hagdish was twice the mana shel chulin. And second, we added a sixth to the coins. And that's how we got to 240. So we see that we're mosif on the midos and the matbeos by 1/6. So we're not choshesh that the merchant who's not going to know is going to take a price based on the previous midos. And he's not going to profit. Vein mosif in yosem ishtos. And we also see that you can't add by more than 1/6, and therefore, since there's no raya that it's mutter, it must be that it's aser, meaning the pasuk doesn't say that it's mutter to add by more than 1/6, and therefore we derive that it's aser. And the third thing we learn is shema mina shtusa milavar, that when we say 1/6, there are always different ways to do fractions in halacha. Sometimes it's a fraction milagav, and sometimes a fraction milavar. So if I start with 3 of something, and I say I'm going to add 1/3 to that, so what does that mean? I'm adding one more, and now I'll have 4. That would be a fraction milagav. But if I say I'm adding 1/3 to 3 milavar, it means that when you have the new total, what I added is 1/3 of the previous total. So 1/3 would really mean a half. So I would add 1.5, and now I have 4.5. And the 1.5 that I added is 1/3 of my new total of 4.5. So over here, when we say 1/6, it means that it was 200. Now it's 240. The 40 that I added is 1/6 of the new total, which is really 1/5. It's, you know, what we would call in our terminology 1/5. So now we understand what the basis of the 1/6 is. Shmuel found that it's a pasuk. So now, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Takin Kaila Bar Tlosa Kefizi. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel was masakein a measuring utensil that had 9 log in it. So Amrulev, Amr Shmuel, Ein Mosif Nal Midos Yoser Mishtos. But didn't we learn that you're not allowed to add to the Midos by more than 1/6? And this is more than 1/6, larger than a Chatzi Tirkov that was mentioned in the Brisa, because a Chatzi Tirkov is a Kav and a Half, which is 6 logan. This is 9 logan, which is 1/3 larger than the 6 log Kli. So Rav Papa said, I didn't enlarge another kli. This is a new measuring cup. It's not like I took what used to be called a gallon. Now I made it bigger and still call it a gallon. This is a new, it's a brand new one. This is just it never existed in the city. I introduced a new measuring utensil. So Shadri the Pumbedisa of Lo Kiblua. He sent such a utensil to Pumbedisa and it never made it. They didn't accept it as part of their way of doing business. That size, I don't know if there was no market for that size, or they thought that it was going to be maybe the Deitaus or whatever, that people were going to, you know, it's like the Israeli soda bottles and the American soda, they're skinny or they're tall, like, what, you know, people aren't sure exactly how much soda am I actually getting over here, right? So they didn't like having these new sizes, this new bottle. So Shadri the Papunya of the Kiblu of Akarile Ruz Papa, they sent it to Papunya, and over there they accepted it and they called it Ruz Papa, the measuring cup of Rav Papa, because Rav Papa was the one that introduced such a measuring cup. So a simon for the coming prices that we're going to be learning. Otsre peros, ein otsin vein motzi, vein mistakrin pa'amayim, bebeitzim, matriin velo motzi. And this will bring us well into tomorrow's daf, this simon of the prices that we're going to be learning. So Tan Rabbanan, let's start with this brisa. Otsre peros, people who buy a lot of peros and they hoard it, they store it away, and through that they really take it off the shelves in the marketplace so that it's not available for people to have, and then they wait for the prices to go high, and now that they control the market, they release as much as they want at a time at very high prices, and they've changed the whole market. So people who do something like that, umalve beribis, people who lend money with ribis, umaktine eifa, people who sell the peros by weight, and they use smaller weights than the true weight. So it turns out the lokeach is getting fewer peros than what he's paying for. Umafkiyei sharim, people who sell at very high prices, higher than the prices that are kavua in the market. So all of these are bad practices that a person should not have in business. Alei and Akosav Omer, about these four people, the pasuk says in the Navi Amos, when he's misnave on what's going to be, with the Rishaim who do not nice things. So he says, Lemor Masaya Avara Chodesh Venashbira Shever Vashabas Veniftucha Bar Lahaktin Eifo Lahagdil Shekel Laavis Mosne Mirma. So Pasuk means the Mafkiya Sha'arim say Masaya Avara Chodesh Venashbira Shever, meaning when is the month of the harvest going to be over, and then we'll sell the Tavua for a higher price. And the Otsre Peros say Vashabas Veniftucha Bar, that we've been storing away Peros, we're going to wait for the Shemitah year, and then we're going to open up our storage facilities to sell things for a very high price. And the Hakdin Eifa is people who sell things with a smaller measure than what's accurate. And the Hagdil Shekel are people who are Malva Beribis, because they take money and they turn it into more money by lending for Ribis. Uksiv, and the Pasuk goes on to say, Nishpa Hashem Begoon Yaakov Im Eshkach Lenetzach Kol Maaseyem, that what they are doing, it's a Shavua B'Shem Hashem, that what they are doing will not be forgotten. These people will be punished for their actions. So Otzer Peros Kigon Man. Otzer Peros, do we have an example of someone in history who was an Otzer Peros who stored away, who bought up the entire market and therefore took certain Peros off of the market so that he could control the prices? Some Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, Kigon Shabtai Otzer Peros. Everyone knows about Shabtai Otzer Peros. What an awful guy. So this is, it's interesting that the Gemara mentions him by name, but he was apparently a famous Rasha, a famous Otzer Peros. It's interesting that his name was spelled Shabtai without an Aleph. Tosos and Gittin Dafir Aleph writes that Shabtai with an Aleph is the name of a particular Ruach Ra'ah. Shabtai without an Aleph is a Jewish name that people had. So Beishmuel says, no, it's not true. He quotes, Beishmuel quotes from a Marit that both Shabtai without an Aleph and Shabtai with an Aleph are both Jewish names, and they're both accurate spellings. If you have to write a get for someone named Shabtai or Ksuba, they're both accurate spellings of the name Shabtai. Shibtai is the name of a Ruach Ra'ah, with a Yud between the Shin and the Beis. But okay, there was this fellow, Shabtai Otzer Peros. Avod Shmuel Mazmin Luhu is Halach Hashem Rasham Yerkev. You're not supposed to name after Rasham. So if someone names their child Shabtai, they should have in mind that it's not after Shabtai Otzer Peros, that it's after some other Shabtai. There were plenty of tzaddikim that were named Shabtai as well. So Avod Shmuel Mazmin Luhu the Peri Betara Charpa. The father of the Amora Shmuel would sell his peros at when at an early stage in the market, meaning when they were still they were still piling things in the goren kitara charfa, and he would sell at the cheaper price at that time, so that everyone, he would sort of set the market in advance by opening up his peros to be sold at that time at the lower price. And once the price was set pretty low, it's very hard to change later on. Shmuel Berei, his son Shmuel, mashi the pere, he would hold back his peros until things went up in price, and then he would put it out in the market at a cheaper price in an effort to bring down the prices in the market. So he'd wait till the prices got out of control, and then he would do something about it. Then he would release that which he had at a lower price in order to bring down the prices. So Sholtamitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Tavada Abba Midabra. The father does better than the son. My timer, why is it better? Tara de Ravach, Ravach. Once a price is set cheap, it will stay pretty cheap. But it's much harder to change a price that's already gotten out of control. So Shmuel was trying to change that which was already out of control, much smarter, to much more effective, to make sure that it never gets out of control in the first place, right? An ounce of prevention, right? That something like that. So much better to prevent the prices from getting out of control. The Rishonim point out, the Adramah and the Ran, Shmuel and his father both lived in Bavel. So you see from here that these dinim are not only Eretz Yisrael dinim; these are dinim that apply even in Chutz Laaretz, even in Bavel. Amrav, Osa Adam es Kabo Otsar. A person can make is allowed to keep things guarded in a warehouse that which he takes from his field. The issur is only to, meaning when we said before that you're not allowed to make an otsar, that you're not allowed to corner the market by buying up the whole supply of something and then only releasing it when you see that you can get a lot of money for it and controlling the price in that way, that's buying up a whole market. But if you happen to own a large amount of property, large large amount of fields that produce a particular crop, you don't have to sell your crop when the yield of your crop when you don't want to. You can wait, and you're allowed to hold on to it for quite some time. That there's no if it's kabo, if it's his kav of peiros. Kav is an expression. It could be, it's obviously we're talking about way more than a kav. But if it's his amount of it, if it's his peiros, so he's allowed to do that. Tanya Namiach, we have a brisa that says, Ein otsim peiros dvarim sheish ben chayin nefesh. Another exception to this rule of not having all of the peiros under your control is only when it comes to things that are chayin nefesh. Kigon yenos, shmanim, slossos, staple items. Wine used to be the primary beverage. Now it would probably be viewed more as a luxury item, but wine was the primary beverage that they would drink with every meal. So wine and oil and flour, aval tavlin, vikamon, pilpulin, but spices, which don't really add nutritional value to your meal, they're just, it's considered more of a luxury thing, mutter, that you're allowed to leave as an otzer, you're allowed to hold on to those things and set the prices. In the Chasdei David on the Tosefta, he points out that not all things that have a din of tavlin for all halachos would be have a din of tavlin for this halacha. I mean, over here, what we're identifying as tavlin are cumin, things that don't have actual nutritional value, they only add flavor. Onions are referred to as a tavlin in other areas of Shas, but it's not a tavlin over here, because it actually is something that has mamashos to it that people eat. So that would not be considered to be a tavlin in this regard. So anyway, b'medvar mamurim, when do we say that there's an iser to be otzer peiros that are staples? That's only b'lokech min hashuk. That's if you buy them from the shuk in order to store them away. Aval b'machnis mishalo, but if you're just taking your own stuff, mutter. That's mutter to do. To put away your own stuff is mutter to do. So that's as far as the din of being otzer peiros. What about the din of one more thing about umutter la'adam latzer peiros b'Eretz Yisrael shalosh shanim. You're also allowed to store away peiros in Eretz Yisrael for three particular years. Since you know there's not going to be a crop in the Shemitah year, and by the time you're able to enjoy the yield of the crop in the eighth year, it's going to be the end of the eighth year, so you do need to plan ahead. Chachamin of Barosho. So you're allowed to store up a lot of food in advance so that you can have 3 years worth of food. We're not going to tell you that you have to release everything right away. You need to make sure that there's going to be what to eat. But in years of famine, afilu kav charuvin, even a kav of buxer, which is very small amount, and it's a min that's not chayei nefesh, it's not a staple, lo yatzer, you're still not allowed to store that away, because it's going to cause any holding back of items from market is going to cause the prices to go crazy when everyone's nervous that there's not going to be what to eat. So you just have to let everything go out into the market when people are nervous that there's not going to be enough to eat. So now the Gemara brings Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina actually followed this heter. Amar Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina lepuga shamei. He told his shamish, whose name was Puga, Puk Atzarli Peri Shaloshanim Ereshvius Ushvius Matzai Shvius. He told his shamish, I want you to store away from me peros for 3 years worth for Erev Shemitah Shemitah and the year following Shemitah, because you have to have what to eat. So that's a heter that you're allowed to store away for such a thing. Now Tanur Rabbanan, another din. Ein motzin peros meretz Yisrael davar sheyesh ben chayei nefesh kon yenos shmanim l'slassos. Just like you're not allowed to store up staple items and not release them to market, you're also not allowed to export these items. You're not allowed to export things that are a staple food, like wine, like oil, and like flour. Rabbi Yehuda Maseira Matir B'Yayin Mepeshem Ma'it Esatifla. He says, now get the wine out of Eretz Yisrael. We don't need too much wine in Eretz Yisrael. The wine causes people to not behave properly. Nichnas Yayin Yatzasod, the Rashbam quotes from the Gemara in Erevin. There are other Makoros in Shas where we see that Yayin brings about bad things in Sota and Nazir. So you see that Yayin is just, we'd rather export the Yayin, bring that to Chutz La'aretz. We don't need more Tiflus in Eretz Yisrael. Ukshem Shein Motzin Ma'aretz L'Chutz La'aretz. And just like we don't export from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, Kachin Motzin Ma'aretz Yisrael L'Suria. We also don't export from Eretz Yisrael to Suria, which was conquered by David HaMelech, because it was a Kibush Yachid, so it has a din of Chutz La'aretz, so because Kibush Yachid is Lo Shema Kibush. V'Rebbe Mati, but Rebbe disagrees, and he says you're allowed to bring out, may he not Rabbi Rabbi Matir may prachia, that he allows bringing from one neighborhood to the other neighborhood, meaning from the last neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael to the first neighborhood in Syria, because they're so close to one another, we're not going to call that an export that you're going to be allowed to do. This was a big discussion about Esrogim. The Marsham has a kuntrus Mishmera Shalom where he says Bizmanenu were knowing to take a lot of Esrogim and Yayin out of Eretz Yisrael and send it to Chutz Laretz. He says it must be because that Mitchila Uz Natua Al Das came. What they planted, these Esrogim, Al Das to export them. And he says, what's the reason you're not allowed to take these things out of Israel? It's because Mimait Yishav Eretz Yisrael, that we're afraid these things aren't going to be available in Eretz Yisrael. But when you know that it's Dafka Marba Yishav Eretz Yisrael, that this is a business, that they're able to bring money into the economy in Eretz Yisrael, so then for sure you're allowed to do it. In fact, there's Yerushalmi about taking Svarim out of Eretz Yisrael, that if Svarim were written in Eretz Yisrael, then the person who wrote them died, and his children live in Chutz Laretz, that the Yerushalmi says you're not supposed to take the Svarim out of Eretz Yisrael. But again, if they're printing Svarim in Eretz Yisrael in order to send them to Chutz Laretz, so that's what the Poskim write. It's all over the place in Poskim that they have exceptions to this rule. Otherwise, if we couldn't export things from Eretz Yisrael, it would be a major, major problem. So we do export things from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so tomorrow we'll pick up with the very last stuff of the fifth parak of Bavli Basra.